Jesus in three words. Wow. Do you think you could possibly remember three words from this sermon? There's going to be a lot of them. But do you think you could possibly remember three words from this sermon? There is that text that is there, and let's go ahead and look at that text, because Moses is now 120 years of age. You know, there are a couple other guys that are probably 80, 85 years of age, and everybody else is under 60. He's with the group that came out of Egypt. They're all dead. So everybody there is 60 years or younger, and, you know, most of them have been born in that wilderness. And so Moses says to them, and this is within 1 week, or pardon me, 1 month, possibly 1 week, and even perhaps 1 day before Moses died. Here's what he says. God made a covenant with us. And he said, the Lord our God, who will come to you, and he's going to do something else for you. He's going to send you a prophet. And when that prophet comes, because I'm not that prophet, he'll be a prophet like I've been a prophet. You know, I've been up to Mount Sinai. I've come down with words from heaven. There's to come somebody else. And you and I need to understand that God had a plan in mind. And that plan involves what is happening in your life. And that is, a prophet is coming. And then he says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Moses, just like I wrote my words on tables of stone, when that prophet comes, I will give him my words. And look at that. Look at it carefully. And he will speak my words. Wow. That's interesting in and of itself. We're going to come back and look at this text a little bit later in this lesson, but you've got to hear what it's all about. Let me introduce this sermon by talking about the fact that God has given us the Bible. Moses, the Old Testament prophet, there were other prophets after him, and then there is a New Testament prophet that's come and others that came after him. You know who that prophet is. I don't have to tell you. You know, I believe almost everyone in here would tell us who was that prophet that came and gave us the words of Jesus. And that's really, really important. And so you and I need to understand that God did not give the Bible to create confusion. The world's confused, isn't it? The religious world is confused over and over again. Look at all the different ideas and crazy ideas and some that are sort of exciting. God did not give us the Bible to confuse us. And yet some people say, well, you read the Bible, you'll get confused every time you wrote. No, no. God is not the author of confusion. So he didn't give us the Bible to confuse us. He gave us the Bible to guide us. And I want you to understand that today's lesson will illustrate how simple truth is. When I was a younger preacher, and now there was an older preacher. I thought he was anciently old. And he said to a group of us younger preachers, he says, boys, when you preach, put it down where the calves can get it, and the cows will find it. What great advice. The truths that are so important to our salvation are so easily understood. And I'm going to illustrate this. I wonder, are there any children here who are 3 or 4 years of age? Have you got a 3 or 4 year old child sitting beside you? All right, there's somebody that's got three. Yeah, there's some with 3 or 4 years of age. Could you listen to me if you're 3 or 4 years? If you're 3 or 4 year age, could you listen to me for just a minute? I want to talk to you, okay? What about anybody that's 5 or 6 or 7? Any, go ahead, raise your hand if you're 5, 6, or 7 years of age. Yeah, we've got some that are 5. What about 5, 6? What about 7, 8, or 9? Okay, are you listening? Don't still listen if you're 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 or 9. Every time I walk over here, I want to give you one word to remember. I want to talk to these children. And so, you know, when the sermon's about over, when I walk over here 3 times and we got 3 words, you've got it. So, young people and those who have children beside you, every time I walk over here, you punch that little child that's beside you and say, he wants to say something to you, and point him up here and point that child up here in this direction. Or 5, 6, or 7, or 8. Now then, let me talk to those of you who are not 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. Do you understand? God has not given the Bible to us to confuse us. And this lesson will illustrate that very point to us. I want to talk to you about Jesus in 3 words. And the first word, are you 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7? I want you to remember this one. The first word is prophet. You got it? Because that describes what Jesus is. Jesus is a prophet. Now, I really want you children, those small, lower, small, you know, 10 years or younger, I want you to remember one word, prophet. Okay. Question. What is a prophet? See, Moses said, I'm a prophet. And you look at all that context of what he said, and we didn't look at the entire text, but in that text he said, I brought you out here to Mount Sinai, and you heard the voice of God, and it scared you to death. It scared you so much, you thought you were going to die. Can you imagine what it'd be like to stand at Mount Sinai? You've just come out of Egypt with all those plagues, and now all of a sudden, the voice of God. How thunderous is the voice of God? And it terrified them. We're coming in the presence of God, and it's scary. And so they said to Moses, Moses, why don't you go back up into the mountain and find the message from God, and then you come down and talk to us. Do you know God is way up here and we're way down here? You know, you can't draw this circle big enough to talk about the distance we are from God. How on earth can a God that is so unbelievably brilliant, how on earth could he ever communicate anything to man? Well, he had a way. And that way is illustrated by the fact that Moses went up to the presence of God. And Moses came down, and Moses said, I am a prophet. And I've brought the words of God to give to man. Isn't that remarkable? Here's the words you've heard about all of your life. You know, well, they're the minor prophets, and they're the major prophets, and they're the New Testament prophets. What are you talking about? You're talking about people who know the words of God and who were able, because God had given them these words, to speak them so in such a way that men on this earth would be able to understand it. I know there are things difficult to understand in the Bible. The Bible says that. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that the things most important to our salvation are the things that are most easily stated in the Bible? For example, what must I do to be saved? There's an answer to that. And at the end of this lesson, we're going to talk about the words of God. I'm going to give you the very words God said about your salvation. Not my ideas, not something some man has thought up. I'm going to give you God's words. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I know a book that is full of words from the prophet. And you need to understand that that's what a prophet is. He takes the words of God and brings them down to give them to man. Here's a question. Are you aware of the fact that Jesus came as a prophet? How do we know that? We ask the question, what is a prophet? And then we ask the question, he came as a prophet. We make that statement. What did he do? I wish we had time to read John chapter 7 through 16. Chapter 7 through chapter 16. Read those seven or eight, nine chapters, whatever that is. Over and over, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine. My doctrine is from him who sent me. And in John 16, he says, I've told you some things, and there's some more I want to tell you, but you're not able to grasp it now. But the Holy Spirit's going to come on individuals who are prophets, and they'll guide you into all of the truth. I want you to feel the force of John chapter 12 and verse 49. Here in verse 48, we know verse 48 because we've talked so often about verse 48. But sometimes it's the verses after verses that we know that are really, really important. Jesus says, he that rejects me and receives not my words, that's verse 48, has one that judges him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus, where'd you get those words? I'm a prophet. And he gave me. Now, I want you to hear verse 49 where he says, this is Jesus talking. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus came, and one of the reasons he came was to be a prophet. And that is really, really important. That's really important for us to see and to understand that aspect of that. But you go back to those verses in John, all the way through the book of John. We mentioned John 7, we mentioned John 12. John 16 is just full of the fact that he came to be a prophet of God. And when he came to be a prophet, he gave us all that God would ever need to say to man. Are you listening? When Jesus has finished his work and the work of the Spirit that he sent to those New Testament prophets that wrote the other books of the New Testament, God has given us everything that is about life and godliness. Wait a minute. Jesus is a prophet. He says, it's not my words, it's the words of the Father. And the Father said, I'll put my words in his mouth and he will speak my words. And then the New Testament says, when he's finished his work as a prophet and those New Testament prophets he sent the Spirit upon, everything about life and godliness has been revealed. He's a prophet. Jesus is that prophet, and we need to really appreciate it. Are you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years of age? Are you listening? Can he have your attention? The first word, he's a prophet. Second word, he's a priest. You think any 6 or 7 year olds have picked up these words? Lucas, do you know the two words? He's a prophet and a priest. Yeah, he looks right up here. Woke right up when I called him by name. Maybe I ought to call some of the rest of you by name. Can I talk to you? You know who Jesus is? He's a prophet and he's a priest. Now the question is, what is a priest? We know what a prophet is, but what is a priest? They have their place in the Bible. We've got the word priest on the one side. Can we put a word on the other side? And that is the word priest. We've got the word prophet on one side. Isn't that what happens in the Old Testament? If you wanted to offer a sacrifice, you couldn't go out and do it. You were going before God. There's sin in your life. Talk about under the Old Testament law. And you had to take it to a priest. And so there was a man that stood between you and God. But Jesus is a prophet. And when we come to God, we come through Jesus. We sat at his table. We sang songs talking to Jesus. We prayed in the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus is. We'll point out a little bit later that idea that there are many priests and that you have your sins forgiven, that you have to go find you a priest somewhere because you can't get rid of your sins unless you go to confession and tell the priest No. That's not what it is. Here's what it is. There's one mediator between God and man. Look at that circle. There's one prophet, Jesus, and those men he appointed to be prophets. But when it comes in our upward reach toward God, there is no mediator other than Jesus. What are you going to do about your sin? Are you aware of the fact that Jesus came to be a priest? Like he came to be a prophet, Jesus came to be a priest. He came to be one to approach God on our behalf. You feel dirty sometimes because of so many mistakes you've made in your life. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Jesus will take care of every one of those sins. And when he talks to God, or whenever he appeals to God by his blood, God will forget about it. If you want to be happy as a Christian, forget about your past. Their sins will I remember no more. That's Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. What did he do? He came. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 said, between you and God, the church does not exist. As you've got to go through some church organization or something. It's between you and God. And you and I need to have an appreciation that the only person, the only entity that is between us and God is Jesus. And so when there's a past in our lives, recognize the fact that he came to approach God and he came to be a priest to remove our sins. I'm not going to read all of Isaiah 53. That's not the point of this lesson. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has borne our sins. Psalms 51 says, "Wash me and I'll be clean. Though your sins as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow." You know what the high priest did? You know what Jesus, our high priest, did? That Jesus, the high priest, came. And he came to be that priest to atone us of our sins, to get rid of our sins, and to remove our sins. See if I can illustrate it this way. When he ascended in heaven, he carried his blood. It's figurative, but Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says that Jesus brought about salvation. Figuratively, he carried his blood into the very presence of God and says, "Please let this man come in because he's been washed in my blood." In the Old Testament, that Jewish system, you had sin, you found a Levite, he'd offer you sacrifices, you'd come away feeling somewhat forgiven. Then once every year, God would remember it, you had to go do it again. The Day of Atonement came every year. Oh no, one time Jesus carried his blood into heaven. If I can make it personal, Dan's made a lot of mistakes in his life. But figuratively, when Jesus went to heaven, he carried his blood and said, "Let Dan come to heaven." That's the priest. Now you think about that and you put your name in that concept. It'll change your life. That's exactly what Jesus did in order that we may be saved. So you can put the name of Jesus there, can you not? You ready for word number three? Wait a minute. Are you 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 years of age? Are you listening? Roderick is. I see Roderick listening. Where's Levi? I can't see his head right this very minute. I mean, Lucas. Okay, are you listening? A prophet, a priest, and a king. Three words. Who is this Jesus? Who's this man that sits at the table with us? Who's this man through whom we pray? Who is this man who is purchased with his own blood? Who is this individual? He was one who was with God in the presence of God as a prophet and brought the word of God. He's the avenue by which atonement comes about and forgiveness comes about and salvation comes about. And we even pray in his name. I don't have to tell you what a king is. I don't have to draw the circle, do I? Let's go ahead and put that other graphic up there just to show you what a king is. I was trying to figure out how to illustrate. You got that? Is that a Burger King helmet, crown? I sure hope it's not. That's not what I had in mind. You know what a king is. And that is exactly what Jesus is. The king's the one that sits on a throne. He's the one that has a kingdom. He is that individual who is in. He is that individual who is in charge. That's what a king is. And Jesus came to be a king. Luke chapter 1. The angel said to Mary, "I'll give to him the throne of his father David," prophesying the coming of Jesus. "And I will give to him the throne of and of his kingdom." There'll never be an end. A prophet came, a priest came, and he's king. But the Bible says he's not an ordinary king. There are a lot of kings, a lot of powerful kings in history. There have been some really, really powerful kings. Let me tell you what he is. 1 Timothy says, he is the king of all kings. He's the king of all prime ministers and all presidents and all individuals that think they're really somebody in this world because they got more education or got more money than anybody else. He is the king of all kings, and he is the Lord of all lords. And that's exactly why he came. And while he was here, he established the kingdom. When Jesus come, when Jesus left this earth, he left us the Bible. We've already mentioned that. Is there anything else that happened when, the church started? Which church? That when Jesus wanted to put on this earth. And so Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. That's what he said to Peter in this occasion, and later he said it to all of the disciples, I give to you the keys. What does that mean? Keys mean you can open the door, do they not? Peter, open the door. Tell me where this kingdom is. Tell me how I get inside this kingdom. I want to be a citizen of that kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus put on this earth from every nation under heaven. He brought men together and they were so diverse it was remarkable. But in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free. Isn't that amazing? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither rich nor poor, you understand? We all stand equal inside this kingdom. And you and I need to understand that he established that kingdom. And tonight's lesson is, you know what's going to happen to that kingdom? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, he's going to take that kingdom and take it to heaven. That's pretty awesome. I want to commend momentarily all of those who have started coming on Sunday night as a result of these lessons about walking with Jesus. Folks, we owe a debt to our elders. Those two sermons last week were two of the finest sermons I've ever heard in my life. About how to raise children. We ought to be blessed. And the whole approach of David's lessons, you and I need to understand how blessed we are. To have somebody that can look at the life of Jesus and take things out of the life of Jesus. And I would encourage every one of you to come back every Sunday night for that very reason. It's not an inferior, it's not a lesser service. That Sunday night sermon is every good as the Sunday morning sermon. Let's get back to where we were. He's a prophet. He's a priest. And he's a king. You know he's going to deliver up the kingdom someday to the Father. And all that matters is, has he been your prophet? We're going to skip that next slide. Is he your prophet? Is he your priest? Have you been washed in his blood? And are you a part of his family, the church, the kingdom of heaven? There's no question on this earth greater than this one. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is so simple. Hear these words. Think about these words. And these words are words Jesus spoke. Words given by God, written down. He says, if you do not believe that I am He, the Messiah, the prophet, priest, and king, you'll die in your sins. That's Jesus' words. God gave those words. Do you believe that? Jesus said, we put up another verse here. We've got the great one. Acts 17 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. But you want the words of Jesus? Jesus says, except you repent, you'll perish. God gave him those very words, and we read them, and the prophet, priest, and king who has all authority says, if you don't do that, you're lost. You know what he said? You must confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before the Father. Those are words that God gave to Jesus, and Jesus spoke. And those are the very words, just like the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone, those words were there because God gave them to Jesus, and Jesus gave them to us. What must I do to be saved? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What happens then? Oh, I become a part of the church. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm a part of God's family. And then to those of us who've done that, he says, don't you let up. You be full of faith and death. These are the words of Jesus, and I'll give you the crown of life. One question. Jesus says, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Have you done this? He's not your king. He's not your priest. The fact you're not listening to him says you do not recognize him as your prophet. That's what a song of invitation is all about. To encourage people to get right with God. If we can help you go to heaven in any way, let us know how by coming to the front right now. As together we stand and sing, Will You Come?